You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Mops and Joe. Better part of it gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill, and Tom isn't going to be on tonight. I'm going to be the host for the show. Hey, I'd just like to thank everybody. A lot of people are ordering the hoax of the century, and in some of the other DVDs as well. Thank you very much for your patronage and everything. We're trying to get them out as fast as we can. I hope that everybody's had a fun week over here in where I live. It got a little cooler. Well, I say cooler, meaning below 70, which below 70 means not below anything of maybe 55. So that's San Diego. We're spoiled. And also we had a little bit of rain and got the flu last week. And gosh, so and I know there's quite a few other people I talked to out there a little sick, you know, catching the flu and some other stuff. So it's that time of the year again. We're all out here catching stuff and trying to get rid of it. Hey, one thing, you know, our Bigfoot hotline has been pretty active here all year round. And, gosh, I've gotten several. I get so many calls But, you know, this past, in quite a few of the calls when I get them, the people report their encounters, experiences, and things. However, they're a little bit shy coming on the show to share them or experience them with everybody. And rightly so. There's some people out there that are, you know, they're afraid, and I don't blame them a bit. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a risk with everything. And, of course, we keep everybody confidential, and we don't give any information out about anybody. And when we talk about it, we try not to talk about specific areas unless you're somebody that's a researcher that's been with us for quite a while, and then we really don't care, you know, us guys. But there's quite a few people out there that do care. They have family and other friends that criticize and ridicule, and that's what happens. People think you're nuts. But I just wanted to tell everybody out there, thank you for calling and sharing with your stories with us. It certainly is an experience, and it has been pretty active here the past week. I think I got about 7 calls this week. You know, of course, I do get some of these crank calls, and that's all right, too. You take the good with the bad, and the crank calls is usually some, you know, it's usually kids or people have been drinking quite a bit, wanting to have a little fun. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for using the resources that we have available, and they're working pretty good. Tonight we have some pretty good things going on with some of the people. Some of them have been on here recently and had some more activity taking place. So I don't want to waste too much of your time. I'll just get on with it, and we'll go out there, and we're going to talk to Anthony from Virginia. And Anthony, how are you tonight?
Yes, sir.
There you are. I guess you got knocked off, huh?
Yeah, I was able to hear you, but you weren't able to hear me. But if you already got another guest on, I'll stand
no,
by.
No. Go right ahead. We're ready to go. So, Anthony, you've had some things going on, some really recent things going on there. Why don't you tell us all about it? First of all, give us a little background about the last, last time you were on the show, you were doing some stuff, right?
Well, last time I think I told you where the exact area last year where Tom had come down and he had casted a print, you know, around his birthday, and it was around that area that you know, that I had also seen another footprint. I had went back to that area and it was just kind of weird. It was just a little messy, you know. There was no area that we had. You know, I had cleared it out, you know, on purpose just to see if I can get some prints, and then it wound up being a little messy when I was there yesterday. And if you remember when East Coast Jack was with us as well last year, and I had talked to, you know, we had East Coast Jack was a little more familiar with around where the rock throwing was taking place at the hut inside the electrical substation. And so in that particular area, he and I had, you know, we had heard some noises there ourselves even during the day. But probably most interesting thing is I was back there yesterday, and further down the road from where we casted that big footprint is where the electrical substation is. You know, for those that are following. And when I went to, when I left that particular area where we had this sighting and went to the substation, I got out of the substation. I didn't go inside the substation. I was going to walk around back to where East Coast Jack and I had heard the grunting in last year. And I never made it because I got maybe halfway around the side of the electrical substation, and then noises coming directly in front of me. I mean, I heard these two loud, sounded like, I don't know how to describe it. It sounded like two loud screams. It sounded more like a Native American woman, you know, screaming, kind of like what you would hear on the movies. And I'm not trying to be offensive to any of our Native American brothers and sisters out there that are listening. I'm just trying to describe it as best as I can. You know, it was like two big screams that were came directly in front of me, and then almost to the right and behind were responses. And from where I was, I didn't you know, I didn't know if they were coming in or if they were just trying to scare me out or what was going on. But I mean, I didn't. If they would have ran at me, they would have got me. But I don't know what the purpose was. But I heard the two screams in front of me. I heard the responses, you know, in another direction, and I just, you know, ran back to the truck because I did not, you know, I never experienced this before. I didn't know how to interpret it. When I got back to the truck, you know, they didn't hear anything come after me or you know, run towards me or anything like that. I did go back to a little further up the gravel road where we had casted that footprint, and I just stood there for a while. There was a period of time. It was just, you know, I mean, it was absolute silence, and I had heard, you know, something walking towards, and I know you weren't there, Marco Bill, but Rob Price and Tom Biscardi, I know they would be familiar with the whatever it was walking right behind where the tree stand was set up. The tree stand is still there. It was walking right behind where the tree stand was. It just a few paces, and that was it, you know, and I kind of felt like I was being watched. I didn't have any good pieces of wood for me to try to do any wood knocks, and I had read, you know, someone else's testimony about them banging on their vehicles, and I was getting responses, and so, you know, that's what I did, you know, because all the sticks there were just, you know, falling apart, and so I just did a thump on the utility cabinet on my vehicle, and I got a response. And banged it again, got another response, and banged it a third time, and I did not get a third response. I got those two responses, and that was it. But I got to tell you, man, those screams had really scared the piss out of me, man. Let me tell you, my heart was thump. I mean, I heard my heart beating for several minutes.
I understand. Well, the adrenaline rush must have been rushing like crazy, right?
Oh, man. Yeah, I was just, I like I said, man, it literally sounded like, I mean, it sounded like they were right there, and I don't know if they were a good distance away or if they were just, you know, camouflaged and I couldn't see. I mean, but I was, you know, it was just like somebody was across the room.
At a later time, did you try to go back and take a look to see if you could find any other signs, like footprints or tree breaks or something like that?
There's definitely differences in the tree branches. Differences, you know, there's a couple of fresh tree breaks and stuff like that. It's interesting that there was, like, you know, maybe a tree that was falling over. It was you know, it was obvious that, you know, it was cut by a chainsaw, but you know, the funny thing is, you know, somebody had picked it up and jammed it up high in between some trees. So I thought that was funny. But, yeah, I mean, it's obvious, you know, it was, you know, put there, you know, because anybody that's cutting trees is going to leave whatever's cut on the ground, but this thing was picked up, you know. It kind of wedged in between, you know, so I thought that was interesting. But, I didn't see any footprints, you know, a lot of leaves on the ground, a lot of pine needles, you know.
Oh, yeah, a lot of leaf litter stuff, so it's difficult to find a print unless you actually prepare the ground for a print, yeah.
So, but there's definitely evidence that they're still around there.
Man, I'll tell you. Well, you know, I had a couple of calls in the last couple of weeks here from Virginia, from people, and of course they didn't want to, you know, they wanted to report their incident, but they didn't really want to, you know, they didn't want anybody to come down there or anything because they were kind of afraid about their family and stuff,
right.
You know, stuff like that. But I keep my eyes open all the time, find somebody that I can connect you with, and then you can, you know, maybe contact them and keep in touch with them and, you know, get a little circle of...
Sure.
A little circle going on around the area there somewhere near you. And that way, you know, people can share. Obviously a lot of people do it alone, but it's more fun if you have somebody else to, you know, to go with, and you can plan outings and things like that, and it makes it much more, you know, neat
enjoyable
experience.
Yeah. You know, plus, you know, with a little bit of stuff I got, a little bit of whatever someone else has, you know, we could, you know, pull the resources and come up with some good evidence here.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, well, you've had quite a bit of things going on here over the past year.
But nothing that scared me like yesterday, man. I mean,
No. Just, well, I can imagine it would scare you, yeah.
I was pretty much concerned, but I tell you, man, I mean, it was like if you walked into a stranger's house and it was kind of like, you know, get out of here. I mean, that's exactly how I felt. You know, I mean, that was pretty loud screams, man.
It took me 15 minutes to calm one guy down that called this week from his experience. And he's, I never believed in Bigfoot before. I never, ever believed it. And he said, my God, I saw it. I saw the thing. And I had to calm him down. I mean, he had just, I guess maybe about 20 minutes before, and he'd gotten in his car and just drove like crazy. And then once he got out of range, he pulled over on the side of the road and then called the Bigfoot hotline. And it's kind of funny. But I had to calm him down a little bit just to talk. So, when things like that happen, you know, a lot of people wonder how come, you know, we don't take pictures or nobody takes pictures or things like that. And one of the things that happens is, first of all, you're not expecting, even if you are expecting, if you're going out looking for things, when it happens, it's a surprise most of the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and it's hard not to be. And but the average person, when they go out there, they're not really looking even for anything. And when it happens, it's a major jolt in their in everything, their belief system, the whole nine yards. And, if you can imagine, I mean, not only that, you're scared. And so when you're frightened and you're not thinking about taking pictures, you're thinking about how fast you can run and how far. To get out of danger, you're not sure what danger it is, and that's what makes it more scary.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the unseen the unseen part of it that keeps you, that really, you know, frightens you, you know. So, I mean, it's a difficult thing.
Well, I was saying that, you know, this particular area, I mean, it's in a heavily wooded area. But I've walked back there many times. I've walked back there, you know, I've had no problems, you know, going behind the substation into the wooded area there. But I wasn't even there yet. I didn't realize, you know, how close I was to something, you know. Like I said, I was comfortable to a certain point, but I didn't. But now that's it's definitely you know, it's definitely. I don't think I'll, you know, probably. I got a 4x4 that I'm assigned, and that's, I'll probably put it in four-wheel drive and head back that way instead of walk that way, because I had no idea how close, you know, how close they were, you know, because I mean, literally, you know. You know, close to, I mean, to the, I mean, close to everything, you know, and
sure.
I, you know, did some, one of the pictures that I had sent you, in the past,
that has a formation that's, you know, that's kind of like the same location where those screens had come from, you know.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see anything. I could not see anything, you know. All I know is that the screens came from that particular area, and I could not see, a body or a mound or anything, you know. I just didn't know where it was coming from.
Well, I understand. And when you know, when you don't know, that's what happens. Well, gosh, keep on, doing what you're doing, Anthony. I appreciate you coming on to share your experience with us. It's always, sure. It always is exciting, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I know. It's amazing. But keep on doing it. And of course, we keep in touch with you all the time. You know, you can call me anytime. Thanks for coming on tonight, and I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see. I'll see you in a little bit. Take care.
All right. Good night. God bless.
Good night now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was Anthony from Virginia. We're going to go to a commercial here, and we'll be right back. And we're going to get on with Tim from New York.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go up and talk to our buddy Tim in New York. Tim, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm just out here basing in the Bigfoot bunker in the woods with my loaded shotgun, and I'm hugging it.
Tell us what's going on.
Well, we've been having wild dogs and coyotes down here, and they're running their packs down here. And even I'm in the woods at night. It's just getting a little dangerous. So, you just got to have that shotgun with you. And it brings up a point. I don't know how much email Tom gets about the subject of killing Bigfoot. I know it's been coming up on the Internet now and then. I just want to tell everybody, we're not out. Bigfoot hunters are not out to kill Bigfoot. If we got a weapon on us, it's just because there's bears out there, and there's mountain lions and cougars and wild dogs out there. It's just basically for our protection.
Well, gosh, those wild dogs are pretty dangerous. Those dog packs, I can remember in my own experience where they've come into people's yards and just tore dogs chained up to pieces. I mean, there's nothing little pieces but pieces of dog fur and stuff laying around. I mean, that's how vicious they are.
They're so vicious down here now. They fight each other. They're out here and they're fighting each other. It's just something out of a horror movie. You know, the background of a horror movie. I can't believe when it's not only here. I know Tom and everybody has. I know you guys run into them too. I mean, when you're out in the woods, it's very, very dangerous out there now. I think in the past we didn't have these problems, but with the weather, climate changing, and you look at New York. I'm in New York State. Just look what happened in New York City. It seems like everything's just trying to find a new place to. Rome, and this is a big problem now. It's not only Bigfoot, moving around now. It's everything else just trying to find a new place, and it's getting pretty dangerous out here. So, I just want to clear it up. We're not out to kill Bigfoot or shoot it or anything. I don't think anybody that runs into Bigfoot out in the woods, even if they're pointing a gun at it, I don't think they're going to shoot it because. You know, when I ran into Bigfoot, I was in the Philippines that time next to the mountain down there, and it was right next to a tree. I went over to it, and it was laying down. It stood up. My eyes popped out. But if I had a gun, I couldn't shoot it. It just looks like a man, and it just looks like a human. And, it's just that case. I would shoot it with my 35-millimeter camera, but not with my shotgun.
I understand, yeah. Well,
So, have you had any other experience, any experiences of noises or anything happening?
Yeah, this place is this. We have hills all around us, and there's always something screaming up in the hills. What I'm going to do, I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold up until we're going to have some snow down here, maybe in a couple weeks, maybe even tonight. It's like 13 below out there. What I'm going to do, summer's over with. All the trees are and all the leaves are coming down, thank God. What I'm going to do, I'm going to get back up in the hills, up on Connecticut Hill, search for the beast of Connecticut Hill. But I'm going to wait for snow to hit the ground for, you know, then it would be much better. The bears are going to be hibernating, hopefully. I hope the bears are going to hibernate. But now I can look at the footprints and see what's around. So in my case right now, I'm just going to hold up and just wait a couple weeks and get winter going. But that doesn't say everything that's yelling in the woods is not Bigfoot. I'm pretty sure we're next right to Pennsylvania down here, right at the border, and they have some sightings down there. And also we have that the beast of the water ape of Marsh Dam up here that's using the riverbed to circle the area. So it's going to get pretty exciting, but I think I'm going to wait basically for the snow to hit the ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, you haven't had any snow yet, huh?
No, we haven't had any yet, and it's been a disappointment. Like I say, climate's been changing, and I'm just going to wait, you know, unless we get some reports. But I know there's other people on here, but that was funny when you were talking about when you get phone calls that people, you know, are drunk all the time, most of them. I get the same phone calls, believe it or not, and it's just...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I get them, too. Everybody gets... I think everybody on here gets them. I get them, too, and it's just funny because you just know the guy's drunk. I got one guy that called me, couldn't even talk, you know, and then he goes, oh, I'm looking at you, you know, stuff like that. So, anyways, I hope you guys can come. I hope Tom and everybody can, yeah, we get back in New York State, you know, just coming down and, you know, come out, get back
well,
in the woods and all that.
You'll make an effort to get out to see you. I know that.
Yeah, well, we're waiting. Like I said, I don't want to talk about that new reality show because we haven't even discussed that, you know.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Everything's going good here in New York State, and we're going to, like I said, I'm just waiting for winter to hit and get going. But I'm out here at night. I do have night vision, and what I'm doing, I'm looking up in the hills because now that all the leaves are down, you can see anything moving around. So it's pretty good. But like that guy in Virginia, it's not like I'm not paranoid myself. You know, he says he almost pissed his pants. I mean, as anybody that goes out in the woods, Bill, you know, searching for Bigfoot by themselves, or they're down the highway and they're sitting there, yeah, you're going to piss your pants now and then because you get a little paranoid. You just got to, like, calm down just a little and, you know, get back.
Well, I mean, yeah,
it's
an exciting experience when something happens, I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, it happens. I'm not going to say I'm macho or anything. I go out there myself. But, you know, I'm a little shaky, too, out there.
I mean, it doesn't have to be Bigfoot. I mean, even when you're out hunting sometimes, and you're hunting deer or whatever, and I mean, you know, a big old buck comes behind you and snorts. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how experienced you are, when something's right behind you and snorts and you don't see it, and all of a sudden it happens, you know, the hair on your neck and everything else stand out just like about, I mean, it almost scares you right out of your skin.
I agree. And I just want to say one more thing about, you know, people are asking me, you know, when you get lost in the woods and all that, you know, or you're into, what do you do when you get too deep in the woods? Well, it's getting so dangerous to just be on the ground at night because everything's out there. The only advice I could give people, and like I said, I get email and questions about this, what I would do if you're searching for Bigfoot out in the woods at night and it's just getting too dark and you just can't get back to your car or anything, or it's just too dangerous, just climb a tree. Get as high as you can in a tree, because I'd rather be in a tree than be on the ground in a tent or in a sleeping bag. If I'm in a tree, at least I can see what's down there. If I'm in a tent and a sleeping bag, then, you know, what's ever out there, of course, you just, you know, it's just going to be dinner.
Well, yeah, well, the other thing is, if you are in a tent, it's nothing more than lighting a good campfire and keeping the fire stoked up. And most animals, well, all animals will, you know, stay away from the, you know, from the fire. But they're, you know, unless they're rabid or something like that, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like I've been telling Tom last week. We just as a Bigfoot hunter, we can't go back to the old days the way we used to search for Bigfoot. It's just not working.
Right.
There's just too much wildlife out there now. It's just too much happening. There's a lot of reports, and there's a lot of strange animals that are just popping up. Maybe it's just the climate, like I said before, but even camping is getting difficult. I just don't want to be in a tent sleeping out there in the middle of the woods from nowhere, knowing my cell phone's not even going to work. And, you know, it's just going to be dinner. It's just better to get up in as high as you can in a tree and just wait for daylight.
Well, that's okay, too, as long as you're safe.
Well, that's the whole point. It's just a lotto anyways when you go in the woods. You're out there to search for Bigfoot, but you got to use smartness too, and you got to be safe out there, and you just got to use your talent, you know, and your professionalism, you know, that you learn from, you know, your search tactics there, and just do what you got to do.
I understand. Well, I really appreciate you coming on tonight, Tim, to share.
Yeah, it's always a joy to come on you guys, like I say, I hope you guys could come down here, you know, come in New York State. And, you know, the Beast of Connecticut Hill is still up there, and I'm definitely going after it. And you're always welcome. You guys are always welcome, Tom, and all you guys are always welcome to come on down.
Well, you're on the list, so.
It's great. It sounds great, Bill.
Okay.
Nice talking
Take
to everybody
care,
on here.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice talking to everybody. All right. Bye.
Good night now.
Yep.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was Tim from New York. And now we're going to go to Chris in Arkansas. Chris, how are you tonight, my friend? Hello, Chris.
What's going on, Jim?
Yeah, Chris, are you there?
Sure am.
Okay, Chris is out in the field right now, and they're setting up, and what they've been doing is trying to set up to see if they could get some knocks or some noises on the show tonight while they were out there. In the thing. Tell us what's going on there, Chris.
Well, we went into the woods where I had the first encounter, and we didn't hear any movement when we got to the spot, which is right by a freshwater spring that's fed into a little pond. I found some really nice prints around this area. There's some really nice tree arches. I figured this might be a good place to go. That, it's not that far from the car, which is parked on the other side of the pipeline right off the road, if we do need to book it. Since we've been sitting here since the show started, and I have to tell you that we got kind of scared there for a minute, and I'm still a little nervous because we're out here. We don't have any guns. We do have our knives, but we didn't want to be accused of poaching or hunting at night. So we.
Yeah, are you there, Chris?
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, something happened.
And I didn't want to be accused of poaching at night, so we didn't bring any guns. So we came out here unarmed. But I have to say, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, I'm up. Sorry, it got kind of quiet on my phone. But I have to say, what we can see, it sounded like we started getting footsteps in front of us at first. I'd say probably about 30 yards. We don't have any flashlights on or anything. We're sitting here in the dark. It moved around a little bit, and then it stopped. And then it started to sound like we heard something over here to the left on the other side of the pond, which is probably about 35 yards. And then it started to sound like we heard something walking around on the right of us. And all the movement stopped. But then at the same time, we got what I'd like to say, you know what I'm saying, it's dark, so I can't verify what it was exactly, but it sounded like a rock was thrown or something was thrown to the right of us, and then we both looked to the right, and then it's almost the exact same type of hitting things, hitting trees, sounded like something was thrown to the left of us, and then right in front of us. We just got another rock thrown, and it's coming towards us. That's what's the coolest thing about it, is the rocks are, you can tell the way they're hitting trees and the noise that it's making. They're not falling straight down. They're not hitting branches and falling from trees. They're coming our direction. What we're going to do right now is we're going to do a tree knock, see if we can get a response. And then shortly after the tree knock, I'm going to give my best attempt at doing a matchmaker call.
Okay.
So my buddy Coulter is going to take the stick, and he's going to do a tree knock.
Okay. Now, what are you using? What are you using to make the tree knock with?
I got a clothes. I guess like if you were going to make a closet, the pole that you would get from Lowe's to hang your clothes on.
Sure.
It's untreated wood, but it's stout, so it won't break. So we use that.
Oh, good.
Give it hell, Coulter. Just tree knocked.
Did he get a return?
Not yet.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Chris and his friend are out in the middle of the woods. And as he told you, they don't have any weapons with them because they didn't want to be accused of poaching. They're in an area where, well, there's a lot of hunting going on right now. And, of course, if you're hunting at night, you're poaching. And, of course, they have some pretty stiff fines for doing that. So they didn't want to get caught doing any of that stuff, so they went in the woods before the show and positioned themselves in an area where they've been, where they've had signs of the creature, footprints and other things. And what they're doing right now is his friend is doing tree knocks and attempting to try to get a return from a tree knock.
We get the tree knot back, but we did get something else thrown at us.
Oh, and it's something is throwing rocks or something at you, huh?
Yeah. Now we've got movement. We got movement to the right of us. Something's moving through the woods. You can hear the twigs or whatever. What it was, whatever is walking out there, it's heavy enough to break twigs when it steps.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to do my version of a Bigfoot call real quick, and we're going to see if we get anything. What I'd like to say the alpha male is around here, I would say he's extremely territorial. When I've walked my dog out here before, he screamed loud enough to stop me and my dog dead in my tracks. one of my vocalizations of him doing a howl slash growl is on my YouTube page. I'm going to give it a shot.
Okay, go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris. What he just did was make a growl or a howl, similar to what he's heard and recorded on his YouTube page. They've also tried to do some tree knocks. They didn't get any return on the tree knocks. However, something's been throwing rocks near them, and they also have been hearing the footsteps or twig breaks very close to the right of where they're at. So anyway, it's a pretty, obviously when you're out in the woods, it's pitch black. They have no flashlight. They're basically on their own. All they have are their hunting knives. So it's kind of a dangerous situation they're in right now. Not so much from the creature, but from other animals and things that may be out there.
My buddy whistled, and we got a really nice, like breaking sound, like not like a footstep, like a
tree snap or something.
Right.
That was another call from Chris.
Holy shit! Whatever just got thrown at us landed really fucking close.
So something came in pretty close to you?
Yeah, I'd say it landed probably 10 feet from us. Holy crap!
Wow.
Holy crap. Another one got thrown. It landed behind us.
Well, do you know what it is? I know you can't see.
No, I can't see. I can't.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the They did some tree knocks. They did some howls. Something's throwing things at them. Just now, less than 10 feet in front of them and another one just behind them. It's difficult because they can't see anything. It's pitch black. So they don't know what it is that's being thrown. But they can hear it hit the ground. And it's pretty close.
How much time I got left? But I've got the phone positioned in like a neck gaiter that's around my neck. What we're going to do is we're going to get up and we're going to move from where we've been sitting, and we're going to go in front of us where the stuff that's been thrown has been sounded like it's been coming from the closest, and we're going to go in that direction. Maybe we'll scare something out, make something run away from us, or get a nice visual or some eye shot or something.
Okay. Well, you got about another minute. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Chris and his friend are repositioning themselves. They're walking towards where the object was thrown in front of them, about 10 feet or so from them, and they're going towards that direction.
What was that?
And what did you hear? You have something going on?
I think it.
Do you hear anything?
We gotta go this way.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, they're walking towards the bushes to where the object was thrown in front of them. And, of course, they have to go slowly. It's pitch black. They have no flashlight. And the major thing is they have no weapons to protect themselves. Any other animals or anything might be in the area near them. You can hear Chris walking right now. He has the phone positioned around his neck in front of him so that he can possibly hear. We can possibly hear something that's coming over. Now, this isn't very easy to do when you're on the air and you're trying to do this. We've only had a couple of shows where we've had actual experiences where we've had howls come across on the show. One was a lady in her backyard in New York, and another was when Tom was on expedition. They had to park the truck with them, with their big amp on it, and it was right across the lake on the island, and you could hear it howling across the lake. It was only about 500 yards. And it was come pretty strong across the lake, right across the lake, and of course it was fairly dark. And those two instances we had on the show, while we were on the show, we actually had that happen. And Chris was trying to arouse information so that maybe we could have a little bit of an experience on the air as well. About where are you now, Chris?
We're about where we thought something should have been.
Uh-huh.
Once again, we don't have any flashlights on.
I understand.
But when I say the woods are almost creepy still, like, it's weird. Like, there's no birds chirping around here. There's nothing.
Dead silence.
Yeah.
Well, we're actually kind of going over time here a little bit, Chris.
All right, well, I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to go ahead and finish out tonight, and maybe I'll have something cool to tell you next Wednesday.
No problem, Chris. Thanks a lot for coming on and sharing with us tonight. Take care and be careful, okay?
Okay.
Good night now.
Night.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris and his friend. And, of course, they're out there trying to do something for us. I'd like to go to Four Corners, New Mexico, to our good friend Dave. Dave, how are you tonight, my friend?
Hey, how's it going, Marco Bill?
It's going pretty good. Did you hear Chris?
Oh, it's fantastic. God.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glued to the speaker right now. Going, wow.
I know. Well, it's hard to hear those kind of things because he said something through it sounded like it was about 10 feet away. And then the next one went past behind him somewhere.
Yeah, well, you can hear his anticipation and alertness out there that he's really looking at something out there or hearing, you know, that there is a presence nearby.
Yeah, and they've had a lot of activity go on there in the past month or so. So that's what he was trying to do. What he was trying to do tonight was in the same area. He had some activity going on last week. He wanted to go to the same area, see if he couldn't get the same thing. They did some tree knocks before, and they got returns, and he did some howls, and he got some howls back.
Yeah.
But whatever's out there there's something out there throwing things at him.
Right.
Where's
this location at again?
It's Arkansas. In Arkansas, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's well known.
Yeah, they have a lot of activity. Well, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, doing okay. Just getting over that bug that you were talking about, too, a respiratory infection or something.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's been affecting a lot of people. But
it's no fun.
Yeah, I'm a lot better now, and I do have something to report about. Yesterday, I've been walking this riverine park we have here in Farmington. It follows the Animas River, and you know, I've been kind of watching it for a few months. It is part of the major river system here where we do have a lot of activity, but I've never really seen a lot. You know, heard people talk about it or anything too much, but I was walking through the park yesterday. And I found a foot impression that was very, you know, I was just looking down to the ground, and I said, wow, that's pretty deep for the type of soil that's in the trail. And it was, you know, it's one of those impressions where something had, it was just a slight little downhill, and then there was loose dirt and mud had been pushed pretty heavy, and it looked pretty fresh. So what I tried to do the same thing. I couldn't even imitate even a scratch on that ground, hardly.
Wow.
And whatever did this was of extreme weight. I couldn't even guess how much weight. Hundreds.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you didn't leave anything, obviously it had to be pretty hefty to do that.
Exactly. And
excuse me.
They don't, on the trails, you know, they allow dogs. They allow, I don't think they allow horses on the dogs. I mean, horses on the trails. But it didn't even look like a horse track. It looked like some sort of foot impression, but you couldn't really tell because it was mixed in with leaves and bark too. That they put bark on the trail too. But I looked around and I could see some very vague impressions around there. But that was the one that really stood out.
Wow!
I have been watching this park, like I said, for a few months. And what I noticed here, I think it was like 3 months ago, there were two trees that were put down. There was a windstorm that came through our area. But these trees were very close to each other, and no other trees in that riverine park had been knocked over. And I did find an impression and did take a picture of it nearby. There was a little grassy area next to the trees. And I did find something where something heavy had also wore down the grass, actually even displaced the grass.
Wow.
What I'm lightly concluding that we may be having activity inside our city limits now. You know, we've always known that there's been activity outside right at the very city limits, but it looks like, you know, because this river does go right through town, we're getting activity in there, which would actually be a great habitat because it's very dark in there during at night. There's water. You got ample water, fish, trash, you know, in the trash bins of the trails. And, Yeah, and this is actually north of me, which is, you know, headed into town, into the deeper part of the shopping area. So, yeah, it's kind of astonishing to know that we may have bipedal creatures walking around in town.
Well, that's not unusual, I'm going to tell you, because Tyrone had, in Mississippi, on the Choctaw Reservation, they've had several experiences that that's happened, I mean, like right in the middle of town. And left the handprints on the window and, you know, screen, you know, mashed screens and stuff like that, right? And the people have seen it through the obviously through the window and scared the heck out of them. I had a couple of calls about a week and a half ago. And one was from Virginia, mm-hmm. and another was from Pennsylvania. And these were like right in town. I mean, they weren't not downtown, but you know, not downtown town. But I mean, within the vicinity of the, you know, where all the people's houses and stuff were, well inside the housing areas.
Oh yeah.
And one was seen crossing the road to a small little, like, you know, a park. It was a field, but it was a park. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it seems as though that maybe there's a lot of activity that is happening. Maybe it's because they're hungry.
Very possible. Yeah, you just have a pretty special drought.
The drought and the weather and things may all have a factor in that.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah, it finally snowed in the mountains, so it is definitely driving all the animals out of the higher country. And Farmington area is basically a wintering area for all sorts of species, so it's very possible that these creatures are starting to definitely move into the, you know, our river systems, which seem to have reliable food. You know, we have even like ducks, geese, like I said, fish, and they're in this particular park that follows the river. We have trash. You know, people eat their lunch there, and they drop it in there. They do have some lighted trails in there, but there's a lot of the area that's not lighted. So it's very possible they're in those darkened areas. But I'm going to start keeping watch out there. I was trying to look actually for a place to put a game cam safely. I might even just ask the city if I could just put one just for my own curiosity.
Sure.
Yeah, and see what we can come up with.
Hey, have you seen that the thing that I put on the website?
No, I haven't.
The camera?
Is it on the main page?
It's on the Searching for Bigfoot page.
Okay.
And basically what it is, it's a camera, and it's a small camera, but it's got some very good statistics to it. Uh-huh. It's a 1 second flash, and it does both night vision and day vision. You know, flash and night vision.
Is it a game?
It's programmable. It only costs like $130.
Wow.
And it's very, very, very similar, but it's smaller than the Bushnell. Mm-hmm. And real small. I mean, real small. And what it does, you know, besides $130, obviously there's two plans that you have to buy. You know, and it's $15 a month or $14 a month. For the phone, a 2-year contract for a phone. And basically what it does is when it snaps a picture, now a lot of people are using these for security, mm-hmm. and they're using it for security in real estate, in other areas where, or even keeping track of people working. You know, the workers? Yeah, to set them up, keeping, you know, watching the workers work. So the boss doesn't have to be there at the site. He can basically see what's going on in the area. But anyway, what these things do is when you program them, and they got a fairly good battery life, the whole nine yards, and you can... You can, when they take a picture, it'll send it to your, whatever you want. I mean, email addresses, I think up to 15 different email addresses, including your iPhone. And so, I mean, as soon as the picture, you can have a picture coming in on your iPhone as soon as it takes a picture.
Yeah, now that's technology.
Yeah.
I mean, now that it's at its best, you know, because that way the cam doesn't have to, you don't have to wait till you arrive at the cam and hope it's still there.
Right. You don't have to go, I mean, as soon as it clicks a picture, it sends it out. So that's pretty good. And it can send it to your iPhone directly, or you can program it to send it to different email addresses or multiple people. So that's pretty neat.
Wow. I'll look at that after the show. I'll check that out. That's something we definitely could use around here.
I figured, you know, it's pretty neat. Go take a look at it. It's got a web page also you can go to look at all the stuff. They got two of them, the main ones, you know, for security, the main ones. And, I mean, they sell a, you know, where you hook up about 10 different cameras onto a system, like for a CCTV type of thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have signs that you can program. But you can program these with your phone.
Okay.
Through text messages. In other words, you can control the camera from your phone.
Wow.
So it's kind of neat.
Yeah, I'll definitely check into that. Maybe Santa will drop something like that into my stocking.
That'd be pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, anything else been going on?
That's probably about it. I haven't been out too much lately. It's we had a really big cold spell with some snow in the area, so I had a tendency to stay indoors a little bit more, but it warmed up yesterday, so I took my walk back out in the 40 degree weather. unlike San Diego.
Right. Well, I think it's pretty cold when it gets down past 70.
Yeah.
Gets down to 60, it's getting chilly.
Yeah, and you know, you actually get used to that cold though. After a week or two, it doesn't feel bad.
Yeah, but for here, a lot of people are, you know, several below zero. They've already gotten a foot of snow in Montana.
Exactly.
Talked to Bruce and his wife, and they got a foot of snow, you know, already, and it's been pretty cold. And I guess it went up to 40 something the other day.
Ooh.
Which was a heat stroke.
Yeah.
So, well, Dave, I want to thank you again for coming on, as always. Now, you're going to be gone here for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
but,
just a couple of Wednesdays, actually.
Yeah, and have fun. I hope you have some, you get a little bit of vacation out of it.
Yeah, great, thanks. Yeah, I'm going down to Florida, and I'm looking forward to that 70-degree weather.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Dave, and as always, we're winding the show down. And
thank you, Mark and Bill.
You take care now.
Yeah, you too.
Well, everybody, here we are again at the end of another show. I'd like to thank you all for listening in. And next week, Tom will be back. Take care. Keep Bigfooting. And keep calling on my Bigfoot hotline. I want to talk to you. See you next week, everybody. Good night now.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.